As new abortion restrictions go into effect, tech companies are promising support for employees, but what about users? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams. Last week, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. States like Alabama and Arkansas have banned abortions, with some limited exceptions, and trigger laws, like in Mississippi and Texas, have new restrictions that will go into effect within the next month. Since the draft of this opinion was leaked in early May, businesses have had time to prepare for the news. And while many tech companies have been public with their strategies for supporting employees, they've been a lot more cagey when it comes to what this will mean for users and their data. Victoria Elliott is a reporter for Wired, covering tech platforms and power. She says some of the biggest companies have come forward with specific policies for workers.
Google said it would relocate employees without question who wanted to move to other states, particularly out of Texas. Tesla has said that it will pay for people who need to travel out of state for medical treatments. Uber and Lyft, particularly in places that criminalize aiding and abetting abortion, said that they would protect their drivers. I think the proof is sort of going to be when the rubber hits the road to see if these states find it worthwhile to go after those particular employees or these particular companies.
So those are the policies for employees. Let's talk about the users of some of these tech products and platforms. How could that data be used for potentially prosecuting illegal abortions moving forward?
When you have companies that are functioning as large data dragnets, they could be an incredibly rich target for police departments trying to get information to prosecute people. And you know, whether or not they choose to fight those orders, we don't know. I emailed Meta, Amazon, Twitter, Uber, Lyft, Google, and Apple to ask them about how they would handle that. And none of them responded to me. This was the week of the draft ruling when I reached out to them. But as Albert Foxconn, who is the head of the Surveillance Technology Oversight Project, says, the easiest way for these tech companies to sort of get out of the line of fire in terms of having to worry about the legal implications of turning over user data is to not keep the data. But the issue then becomes, how will they have a functioning business model if they don't hang on to that data that allows them to be a very successful platform for advertisers?
In other circumstances, these companies would rush to the front and say, we do all we can to comply with the law. In this case, we have a circumstance where a lot of these companies are coming out and saying, we are doing our best not to comply with these laws. What do you think that means for the role of these companies in the states putting more restrictions on abortions moving forward?
They are, in many ways, essential services to people's lives. I don't think we'll see a future where Google or Amazon is not operating in Oklahoma, in Turkey, in Russia. Social media platforms are already under immense amount of pressure to control certain types of speech. And in those cases, a lot of times they do fight back, they do resist. So there is precedent in other places in the world where these platforms say, no, we're not going to take that down. No, we're not going to comply. You know, I think the big difference is that these are American companies and they're operating in America. And so whether or not they'll push back in the way that they have in some of these other places is also an open question.
Moving forward, what do you think we can expect, or what should we be looking out for when it comes to the next step for tech companies in responding to these Supreme Court rulings?
I don't think that any of these companies believe that they would ever be in a position where they would have data like this, you know, and we'd be in a situation where that data could be used to criminalize people seeking abortion care. I don't think they ever designed their policies or products in a world that was starting to look like this. That means that we are probably going to see a very reactive response to sort of seeing, you know, what moves individual state or local governments make and eventually maybe the national government. But I think there's still just a lot of unknowns at this point.
Victoria Elliott is a reporter for Wired. And now for some related links. Vittoria has more on this topic in her story for Wired. We'll have a link on our website, marketplacetech.org, along with her story about the data potentially at risk in period tracking apps. We'll also link to a conversation we had with lawyer Jessica Lee about those apps and the privacy policies behind them. Now, if you'd like to keep track of some of the reactions from tech companies, we'll link to a piece from TechCrunch outlining some of the statements and policy announcements companies have made in regards to the Supreme Court decision. And the New York Times reports Meta is limiting internal work conversations about the Supreme Court ruling, citing a May 12th memo which said, quote, "Discussing abortion openly at work has a heightened risk of creating a hostile work environment." I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.